Right Side Radio, like the man just said, we are indeed solid conservative and just plain right. It is Tuesday all day long. We are here 2 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday right here on WVNN and also streaming live online at rightsideradio.org. And as always, Miss Copper is running the board. Hey, Copper, how you doing?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Good. We got a ton of breaking news today. I'll be covering some of that with you here in just a minute. I mean, like, wow. Right now, even breaking news is on as Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, is talking about what I'm going to be spending time on, which is the Putin-Biden summit today. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But in the meantime, Copper, get that triple dipper sound effect ready. So, yeah, triple dipper. I got some stuff for you. But you're also going to enjoy the whole show. I mean, we got a ton of stuff today. You're not going to want to miss any of it. 3 o'clock. There have been some major developments in the what I call the battleground victories for the COVID wars. Yeah, I'm calling them the COVID wars now because that's what it is. We are flat out at war on behalf of our own civil liberties. Well, Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty is going to update us on some of that, some of which is flat out breaking news even today, like in the last hour. So Matt Clark will be here at 3 to talk about it. 3:30, Copper's Corner, one of my favorite segments. We'll see what Copper's got for us today. She'll have the microphone all to herself, and she'll lay it out in a way that just comes from her perspective, and it's usually pretty sharp. And then 4 p.m. today, we're moving the Grand Council to Tuesday this week. Tuesday is the day of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and myself as we meet at 4 o'clock to convene and ping each other with questions and see what kind of conservative responses we each give. But Copper, hit that triple dipper.
The triple dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
Yeah, the triple dipper for the day. So here's the deal. Triple dipper for the day. The 3 themes upon which I am running this show. Number 1 is Russia Watch. We are on Russia Watch today. It is it's big doings, y'all. And I'll tell you more about that here in just a minute. But we are on Russia Watch for the day. Number 2. Battleground victories in COVID wars. Aside from the things that are breaking in the news in the last few minutes, I'm going to tell you about things that have been happening just in the last couple of days. Because really, the Biden administration has taken a whacking every time they turn around because they so overreached on these COVID mandates that it ain't working out for them. And I've got great news for you all around on that. And then number 3, all politics are local. And I'm going to tell you about some things that have happened in other places and what they have done to impact even right here on the home front in Alabama. All politics is local, and we'll cover down on that topic. But listen, so as I was getting my thoughts ready for today, and literally right now as I'm sitting here in the studio, overdressed for radio, I'm looking at Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, who is giving us a rundown on how things went today with Putin and Biden, both having having a joint discussion on what's going on in the world that involves the two entities and, you know, not the least of which is Ukraine. Well, today is a major day in U.S. foreign policy, and I mean major, with a capital M. After the Afghanistan debacle and combined with the fact that the world can see that the Biden administration has no concern for our own nation's borders, the whole world is watching to see whether or not Biden can address an issue on the border of Ukraine, half a world away. But it's a border issue that could set U.S. foreign policy back 30 years to the days of the Soviet Cold War. And to be honest, I'm extremely pessimistic. You remember the movie Patton? Yeah, great movie. George C. Scott, he famously played General George Patton. And in one scene in that movie, which was true, by the way, Patton was reading German Field Marshal Erwin Rommel's own book on tank warfare. And in the second battle of Kasserine Pass in North Africa, Patton put a whooping on Rommel. And in the scene in the movie, and apparently it's a true story, he jumped up and yelled, "Rommel, you magnificent SOB, I read your book." Well, Putin has read Biden's book. We all have. I don't have to look far to get an idea of how President Biden handles foreign policy crises. I mean, remember, he's already been a part of the White House leadership when he served as Barack Obama's vice president. Right? So we should know something about foreign policy from a Obama-Biden administration. In 2011, an Obama White House official coined the phrase, quote, "leading from behind," to describe then-President Obama's Libya policy. And that would be the same lead-from-behind policy that resulted in a complete power vacuum in the wake of the overthrow of terrorist dictator Muammar Gaddafi. And even more infamously, the attack on our U.S. consulate in Benghazi that saw our ambassador and several other brave men killed. And for many of us, Benghazi ain't going away. Well, during that same administration, the notion of leading from behind got us the great Russian reset with then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton that caused the U.S. to reduce its arms while Moscow did nothing. In that same vein, Russia also turned around and annexed the Crimean Peninsula completely unchallenged, and the U.S.-Russian relations went south. That same lead-from-behind strategy is what caused the U.S. to pull out of Iraq abruptly, on a timetable, not on a boots-on-the-ground conditions-based withdrawal. And as a result, we came close to losing the entire Iraqi government that we had helped establish and saw the rise of ISIS in Iraq and Syria that caused a resurgence of our own troops to have to go back to that region, some of which are still there today. Leading from behind saw the Obama-Biden administration enter into massively lopsided deals contrary to U.S. interests. A climate deal with China where, you know, maybe China might stop increasing carbon emissions. Or how about a nuclear deal with Iran that caused the U.S. to actually ship pallets of cash to the Ayatollahs and gain nothing but platitudes about nuclear arms from a government to this day that still calls for the death to U.S. and their Israel. National security and foreign policy expert James J. Carafano wrote for the Heritage Foundation in 2015 that the Obama-Biden, quote, lead-from-behind strategy put the U.S. into full retreat on the world stage. And now we got President Biden. He's the man, the commander-in-chief, the leader of the free world, and this very day he is attempting to play chess with Vladimir Putin in a virtual summit, but my concern is he only brought a checkerboard to the chess match. So literally as I speak, Putin has amassed what some are calling one of the largest troop stagings since World War II on the border of Ukraine. Having watched Biden's feckless foreign policy and inability to press other world leaders, Putin is playing brinksmanship games right now with the same man who developed the lead-from-behind strategy. Over 100,000 Russian troops are now massed along Ukraine's eastern border. All manner of force projection, from light infantry to heavy armor, artillery, air defense, and all of the logistical trains it requires to support them for a major sustainment operation. And they're not even trying to hide it. Russia's forces have established massive motor pools for their forces with satellite imagery showing them all just parked in orderly rows, scores deep. Well, Harvard Business Review published a piece 10 years ago on leading from behind. In that overly rosy piece, the author tried to make leading from behind sound a bit more glossy, even went on to quote Nelson Mandela. And the quote from Mandela states, Mandela equated a great leader with a shepherd. Quote, he stays behind the flock, letting the most nimble go out ahead, whereupon the others will follow, not realizing that all along they are being directed from behind. Well, that's neat, but this is not that. There are no, quote, nimble others prepared to butt heads with Russia. None. It's always possible to find others who will fill a leadership void, but in this case, there would have to first be an abdication of the leadership role that the U.S. has spent many, many years earning. The notion that in the broad stakes involved in foreign policy and the possibility of violent military action that any leader worth their salt is going to impress, engage, and win the day by standing in the back and egging others on to do that which we are unwilling to do on our own? No. That's not leadership from behind. That's called cowardice. Plain and simple. Our current president does not inspire confidence. Our current president has a legacy of hosing our foreign policy and still pretending that it's his strong suit. Our current president is a demoralizing example of what happens when someone is elected on personality with no real inkling of his ability to affect policy. Remember that I've said on this show many times that Joe Biden has had the luxury of never being in charge of anything in his adult life, and he has enjoyed the privilege of rhetoric without responsibility. And now, once again, the same man who was vice president for some of the most awful decisions on the world stage, Iran, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Crimea, North Korea, that same man is at the helm for the big game, with every single one of those same hotspots still testing him, because they read his book, and it ain't good. So keep an eye out for this Russia summit today. It has ramifications and the potential for second and third order effects that could put us into Cold War number two. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it, folks. Yes, am I pessimistic on his foreign policy? Darn right I am. He's proven it time and again. He is the same Joe Biden who helped preside over the Obama-Biden administration that put us into so many foreign policy debacles that it took years to get out of them, and he's putting them right back into them again. And even worse than that, now we have massive troop movements on the border of Ukraine. And I just watched a moment ago when Jake Sullivan said that the potential is there that we might wind up responding to requests for troops from neighboring NATO allies and putting forward deployed U.S. troops into Europe. Oh, Lord. We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back with some major breaking news. Back in a minute.